So good to be here once again, that we might continue our worship and praise to the Lord and thank God for all that He has done in our lives, because He surely has done a lot. The mere reason that I stand here today is because of the grace of God, thanking Him that He has blessed me through some mighty trying times and some times that I remember where I shouldn't even be here, but God has seen me through and has made me able to come and to teach and preach God's word, which I am so happy to do. I want to thank the brethren and the elders here for allowing me to speak tonight, and I pray that something that is said will help you in your spiritual growth as I have studied this lesson, and it certainly has helped me. So let's see how we can do tonight in expounding on God's words. If you have your Bibles tonight, we want to go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter number 6. We will begin our reading at verse number 60. The Gospel of John, chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 60. The Bible says, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Tonight is a subject I think we want to talk about: to whom shall we go but to the Lord? As we open up John chapter 6, we begin to look at some of the things that Jesus was doing with the multitudes of people that had begun to follow him. In the first part of the chapter, we see how Jesus had gone over to the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible said that he had done many different miracles and performed many different works amongst the people. And as he gets there, it was the Passover feast that was coming. And many of them had come and had followed him. And as they did, and as things go, people were leaving everything that they had behind. So now they come to a point where the Bible tells us that they were hungry. And they had looked to the disciples, and they had looked to Jesus as to how they were going to be fed. Jesus had tested his disciples and asked them, "How are we going to do this?" And of course, they gave him an astronomical number of what was going to be needed and how much it was going to be. And Jesus just looked at them. And he said, "What do we have with us?" And as you remember the story, they had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus was able to multiply that into a bountiful feast and fed all that was there. And the Bible tells us that there was even leftovers, because he asked them to gather up the fragments that were left over. So now, as we come to this point of fact in the scriptures, we see that Jesus was fulfilling a physical need that the people needed. And all of this was good. Everybody was happy until he started feeding them with what they really needed, which was some spiritual food. As we continue to read the text, we notice that Jesus had left the multitude, well, his disciples had left the multitude and had journeyed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus stayed behind. But during the middle of the night, when the storm was raising and the disciples of his was on the boat, Jesus came walking on the water and joined them in the boat, and everything was calm. Now, in the morning when the people arose, they began to look for our Lord. They knew he didn't get in the boat, and they looked on the other side of the sea, and they said, there's only one boat over there. But then the word began to come about that he is there as well. So they were puzzled. How did he get from here to there? And of course, they mounted up in their little sea crafts, and they went to the other side where Jesus was. And in verse 26 of John chapter 6, notice what they said. In verse 25, it says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? But look at how he answers them. Jesus answered them and said, Moses, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And then Jesus started to begin to give them some spiritual food. And verse 27, he said, do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal on him. You see, Jesus now was getting ready to give them some spiritual food. He begins to talk about the fact that he comes from the Father, and the real, and they asked him, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, you believe on him whom he has sent. And then he begins to talk about how he's the bread of life and how God has sent him down, and if you eat of this bread, you will never hunger. He tells them that he has come down not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. He tells them that he was sent by the Father from heaven. And this brought a question in their minds. In verse 42, they would say, and they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come from heaven? So the questions were starting to mount up as to what is he trying to tell us. He goes on to continue to tell them that I am the bread of life, and the only way that you will have life if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Now, notice in verse number 60, the Bible says here that therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. This word here deals with the idea it was difficult, and it became a stumbling block for them, because here's where the discourse began. Jesus had just given this group of disciples some needed spiritual food, and upon hearing it, they were not able, or they were not capable of handling what they were hearing. And it's because it was something that they were just not ready to accept. It was something that they were just not ready to understand, because it brought a new source of thinking to their minds. You see, it wasn't that they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. The words are very clear. But it was about them not accepting or ready to accept what Jesus was trying to tell them. Everything was good as long as, you know, we were getting our food and getting filled with these spiritual gifts that you were giving to us, healing our sick and everything. But now, you telling me that I've got to believe in you, I've got to follow you, I got to eat your flesh and drink your blood, and that you come from heaven? I mean, you are all right guy, but I don't know about all this. So this was difficult for them to try to understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. You know, and in the same way, even today, sometimes when we hear the word of God and it hits us where we live, it becomes that we don't understand it. It's just that we're not ready to accept it. We don't want to hear about the things that we shouldn't be doing. But just give me the bread and the food and just leave me alone about everything else. I want to live my life the way I want to live my life, and I'll be okay. But when you're hit with what the Word of God is trying to tell you, you need to listen. You need to accept. But these people were not ready to accept what God was trying to tell them. Now, I want you to notice something. Earlier in the text, Jesus was concerned about something. Over in verse number 15, he was concerned that they were trying to take him and forcibly make him a king. And he was not ready for them to do this in the sense of what they were trying to do. Because, see, at this point, what they were imagining for Jesus was that he was going to be a king like David, a king like Solomon, you know, someone who could command great armies and had great riches and would run out their oppressors. But Jesus was not going to be that kind of king. Jesus was beginning to teach them about who he really is. And they were not ready to accept it. He came to be a king, but he came to be a king of their lives to help them into getting out of their sin so that they might be able to be rewarded with a heavenly home. So Jesus was beginning to teach them what they needed to know, not just what they wanted to hear. This is why we read in verse number 61 of our text. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, look at what he said to them. He says, "Does this offend you?" See, he knew that they were offended. And like I said, sure, they believed that he was a good man and even a prophet, if you read in verse number 14 of the text. But now Jesus was proclaiming his deity, that he was the Son of God, and that he came down from heaven above. And this was not easy for them to accept. Because once they did, they would have to accept the atonement that Jesus would ultimately make for us. And they would have to accept his superiority over their great lawgiver, Moses. And for some of them, this was hard for them to do. So in verse number 62 of our text, notice what Jesus says. He says, "What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" Notice that Jesus is trying to give them some spiritual understanding and bring them to a different level of thinking. Because what he's really saying to them, he's saying, if you don't understand what I'm telling you now, how are they going to react when they see him return back to heaven where he came from? Their minds would be truly confused because what they were expecting was something physical, a physical earthly reign, but the one and the one that whom they believed in But what they were getting was him talking about leaving and going back to heaven. And this didn't fit into their narrative. They had a different thought of mind. So Jesus had to try to teach them and try to have them to understand these spiritual things rather than these physical things. And this is why the Lord gave them some additional spiritual food. Look at verse number 63. He said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." He was trying to get them to understand it's the spiritual things that matter, not the physical things, not the things of the flesh, which he says amounts to nothing. You know, early on in John chapter 60 and verse 49 and 50, you know what he says? He says, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread of life," he says, "the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die." He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." So he's trying to give them some better understanding about the difference between the spiritual and the physical. And then in verse number 66, he says, the Bible says here that from this time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. This is such a sad and unfortunate outcome to what our Lord was trying to help them to understand. Instead of trying to gain the knowledge that they needed in order to make it to heaven, they in turn turned around and went back and followed him. And notice what it says, and followed him no more. This happens in the church today. This happens when people run into certain situations that they don't agree with, certain things that they maybe at some point thought was all right, and then the scriptures point out to them, no, you shouldn't be doing this. But instead of accepting what God has to say to them, they turn and they walk with him no more. And this is a sad fate for many people, because what they are turning down is eternal salvation. To gain the things of the world, the things of the flesh, which just ultimately lead to destruction. So now, Jesus gives them this understanding, and we see that they were not ready to accept it. And in verse 67, we begin to read how now he was with that special group that had been following him. It says that he was with the 12, those close associates. And look at what it says in verse number 67. "Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?'" Notice this now. Notice how the Lord asked them the question. And he put the decision on them. Understand that the Lord will never force you to do what you don't want to do. He will never force you to come and follow him. He leaves the decision up to you. And by doing so, he gives us the opportunity to exercise our free will. Because when it comes to following the Lord, it is a choice that each person must make for themselves. You are not forced to serve God, but there is a great benefit in doing so. That's why God, what he does is he gives us the word, in order to try to convince us to come and follow him. He shows us the benefits of following him. He shows us the blessings of following him. But he also shows us the consequences of not following him as well. And because God gave us his word, understand now, because God gave us his word for us to study that word, to understand that word, and hopefully by doing so, we will make an intelligent decision concerning our souls, because it is our souls that hang in the balance of all of this. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So, when we exercise our free will, when we exercise it and decide whether or not we want to follow Jesus, I urge you to make your choice wisely. The information is there for you to study, to understand, and to know the blessings and the consequences. It's your choice. Make it wisely. Now look at the answer here of the disciples when he asked that question. Would you go away as well? He says, but Simon Peter, it always seems like it's Simon, huh? Peter's always the ones speaking up. I don't know if they got together and pondered that question. And they were like, you know, I'm not going to tell them. You tell them. Now you tell them. But it always seems like Peter. And Peter said, he answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" He says, "You have the words of eternal life." You see, the facts were in for them. They had heard enough. They had seen enough. They were convinced that this man named Jesus, which they had been following, and they now call Lord, that this man has the words of eternal life. And then he goes on to say, and we believe and know that you are the Christ. So Peter would say, to whom shall we go? I mean, could they have gone to the chief priests? Those men who claimed to know the law of God, those men who had perverted the law of God because of their own pride? No, they didn't have the answer. Could they have gone to the Sadducees and the Pharisees who had perverted God's word with their own traditions and their own laws, putting it on people, but then themselves not even obeying it? No, they didn't have the answer. Could they have looked at John the Baptist, who being a righteous man, but just was the forerunner of Christ? He himself would point to Christ and let him know that he is the Lamb of God. No, they couldn't go to him. No one, according to them, and according to the word, had the words of eternal life but Jesus. That's why Jesus would say in John chapter 14 and 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me." So, as they said, to whom shall we go? If Jesus had what they needed, why leave? And I think that's the same question we need to ask ourselves tonight. If Jesus is the way, why leave? Why are we abandoning and forsaking Jesus? Because we know many people, they will do that. They turn to self-help books. They turn to self-help gurus. And a lot of them are using scriptural bases, but taking credit as if, look what I have discovered here in the world. Let me tell you a story. I got a text from a person very close to me, and they had just listened to some music video from some award show. And they sent it to me because they wanted me to hear this mind-blowing singing or what you might say, words from some person who was big on the scene now. And I listened to it for a little while, and it was some singer who was a part rapper, part singer, and they were talking about the ills of the world. And what she was saying was making sense. There's a lot of crime. There's a lot of abuse in the world. There's a lot of things that are going on that is bringing us down. And her main focus was that we need to look at this and try to change. Okay, that sounded good. Okay. So I text back to this person who was very close to me, and I said, wow. I said, that's something. I said, but you know, that's not something I haven't heard for years from some good gospel preachers. I said, men like Paul, Peter, John. And I said, oh, and that dude Jesus? Woo! I said, when he said to love one another, treat your neighbor as yourself, I said, blew me away. And after I sent that, I got back, okay, Dad, I get it. Don't come with me what somebody else is trying to tell you about what needs to be done. God has already given it to us. Listen to him, and you'll be all right. Now notice, in the text, the Bible says that they stayed. But notice they stayed not for the food. They didn't stay because of the miracles or so they could be healed physically. What they stayed for is because they knew that God had the words of life and was giving them the spiritual food that they needed. Like he said in verse 47 and 51, he said, I am the bread of life. That's why they stayed. Because he had the words of eternal life. And let me tell you something, people. He still does. He is still the bread of life. He is still the good shepherd. He is still the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And he is our King. And with all this, why would we want to leave him? Because, see, the disciples, they got it right. They got it right. They understood that he had the words of life. And then also, once again, in verse 69, they said that they came to know and believe that he is the Christ. And that seems like an emphatic statement. There was no hesitation in that. You see, when all the facts are in, everything is laid out, and observed and studied, those who are willing to receive it will accept it without any hesitation. Because it's right there for us to see. The bottom line is people need salvation, and it's in Christ Jesus that we receive it. These disciples, they had seen enough. Yeah, they did. And they knew this was the Messiah that they heard about throughout the scriptures with the prophets, and they were ready to accept and continue to follow him. So today, if we are seeking eternal life, we need to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But now, I can't leave this text until we look at the last few verses of this text. And what our Lord is saying about those who will come to believe him, but yet will betray him. Look at verse number 70 and 71. And Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is the devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Now, it is always a sad fact, but true fact, that there are some who will come by faith in the Lord, but will betray him, seeking the lust of the flesh. You know, this story, Judas, and obviously the apostle here is talking post-information that he knows now. Because when it was said, they didn't understand when Jesus was talking about who this was. But now John, in post-information, tells us it was Judas. And when we look at Judas and we look at the story of him, it seemed that Judas had already had ulterior motives when he started following the Lord in the first place. I don't know if you remember, but in John, I believe it's chapter 12, when Mary had came with this expensive perfume and began to wash Jesus' feet, and she was wiping it dry with her hair, Judas came forward and said, "Why is this being wasted? We could sell this and give it to the poor." But you know what the next verse says? He wasn't concerned about the poor because he was a thief. And he held the money bag. So see that Judas was one who already had some ulterior motives to following the Lord. And it's a shame today that we have some in the Lord's church who are like that. They have ulterior motives for following the Lord. I can recall many people who have brought someone to the Lord's body, and they're a Christian, but the person that they want to marry is not a Christian. But they make it emphatically clear that unless you get baptized, I'm not marrying you. Well, guess what? They go ahead and get baptized. Now, everything is fine, right? But as soon as those last vows are made, I do, we do, the next thing you know it, they want nothing to do with the Lord because they came with ulterior motives. They didn't come to save their souls. They came to get the woman. And there are many cases that we see that people will do certain things with ulterior motives and will betray the Lord because of it. Some people think the church is a benevolent organization. I just come and get what I want to get, whenever I want to get it. Because, see, these people aren't looking for a hand up. They're just looking for a handout. And when they don't get what they want, or they get enough of what they want, then they leave. There are others who have spiritual issues in their lives. And when those things become confronted with them, whether it be openly or secretly, and they're not ready to accept it, that's when they leave the Lord. Judas was one of those. Judas was looking for a handout. Soon as he was able to see how he could benefit himself from being close to Jesus, he took it and betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And many today who start off in their faith and they go back into the world have betrayed him who loved him and died for them. And I'm going to tell you this, for those who turn their backs on God, those who fall away, those who begin to teach false doctrine, those who deny the very God that saved them, it is as if they have put the Lord on the cross again. And in many cases, it's impossible sometimes to bring them back from that apostate state. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 6. The Bible says here, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. You see, sometimes when people go too far, it is hard to bring them back. It is hard to bring them back. And that's why the Hebrew writer says that it is impossible. But it's impossible for us. But all things are possible for God. There is nothing that is impossible for God to do. You know, the only impossibility that we talk about here when we talk about this writing here in Hebrews, the impossibility for renewing your soul lies on you. It's on you. And if you're not willing to turn from your sinful ways, then it's impossible for you to be renewed, and no amount of pleading with you, no amount of begging with you, no amount of scriptures that you read will ever bring you back. No amount of teaching, no amount of preaching will convince you. You're just set in your ways. You've decided to walk contrary to God. But when you decide to turn from your wicked ways and begin to listen to God's word once again and do what God would have you do, all things are possible with God, because he is the only one that can save your soul. See, Judas didn't do this. Judas betrayed God and lost his soul. He betrayed our Lord. And with bitter tears, he realized what he had done. But instead of repenting, he chose to end his own life. Don't be like that. Be more like Peter. Remember Peter? He denied our Lord when they were bringing him to judgment. And Jesus has said that before the rooster crows three times, that you will deny me. And Peter did exactly what the Lord said that he was going to do. But what did Peter do? With bitter tears, he came to repentance. And this man lived to be able to preach the first gospel sermon in which 3,000 souls were saved. So you see, it is possible for those who have left the Lord to come back, if you are willing to accept his ways, willing to do his will, and come repent of your sins and walk with him. Where can we go but to the Lord? I hope that's a message for you today. I hope if you're searching today of where you want to be, how you want to live your life, and where you want to live your life after this, that you look at this and say, where can I go but to the Lord? Tonight you have that opportunity. You have a great opportunity to come and follow Jesus today. Why hesitate when you know that he has the words of eternal life? Brother Mike is going to come and sing an invitation song. And if you need to respond, if you need to come and put on the Lord in baptism, we are willing and ready to assist you in that. And if you have fallen away from the Lord, and you know in your heart you stand a guilty distance from him, why don't you come and renew your life to him so that you might be on your way to the eternal glory and live forever with him. Let us stand as we sing the song that has been selected.